Hi, welcome to Truth News Radio Australia. It's the 27th of March, 2011. Been off the air for a few weeks. Unfortunately, a lot of pressures make it difficult to get this show out on a weekly basis. And I'd really like to do it on a daily basis, but there's a lot to do in order just to maintain the basics. Since we don't have corporate funding, it is rather difficult. However, we do intend to continue bringing you some quality shows this year, and we are still on track to be going to a live format soon, fingers crossed. Now, today, the main feature of the show is going to be an interview with Susan Wolfe, who's joining us from Kansas in the United States, and she's organizing the 9/11 10th anniversary events for the 9/11 Truth Movement, which will be taking place in New York City this year. And she contacted me a few weeks ago, and she's been contacting a lot of people around the world who are involved in 9/11 Truth, and she's doing a great job of actually organizing, which is a really key thing that needs to be done. You know, for people out there who are wondering why we don't see more progress with the various causes that we all subscribe to, the main reason I would suggest is actually there is a lack of people taking the responsibility to organize events, to organize activism, and to get in touch with all the relevant stakeholders to make that type of thing happen. It's just one of those key things that actually has to be done if you want to make progress. And I'm not the best at it. I tend to be a bit disorganized. You know, you need to be quite organized and well, you know, well-versed in how to communicate as well, to reach out to people, to bring everyone together to make an event happen. So anyone out there who's interested in that, who thinks they've got those type of skills, we'll get in touch with Truth News, but also, you know, think about what it is that you might be able to organize, because I tell you, there's heaps of things that you could be doing. There's a wide open field for people to get involved in trying to organize events, activism, film nights, you name it. I mean, it's out there, it's waiting to happen. Unfortunately, we live in times where people are under so much pressure and they feel their lives are so constrained that they don't even feel they can do that. And the most they can do is sometimes turn up to an event. And, you know, I understand it. That's a sign of the times that we're living in, though, isn't it? And we actually have to try and work against that. Otherwise, we will slowly slip into a deeper and deeper form of tyranny, as we have been. Now, just before we get into the main event for today, which is the interview, I want to run through some of the stories that have been accruing in the Truth News Twitter stream. Mainly, three key areas, one being the ongoing crisis at the Fukushima nuclear reactor, which is being totally ignored in the mainstream news at the present, which is why we have to draw your attention to it. It's extremely serious what's actually taking place at the moment. We have an increased buildup of radioactivity now detected in the seawater around the Fukushima plant. They've actually taken measurements of the seawater from several hundred meters out to sea near the Fukushima plant, and they found radiation spikes up to 1,000 times normal in that seawater. We have salt crust on the fuel rods. Now, this is another very, very serious problem which has been all but hidden in the news. It did appear in some articles that were published late last week. But the measures that were taken to deal with the Fukushima crisis initially involved pouring seawater onto the overheating reactors. Now, what's actually happened is that seawater has evaporated. It's been boiled away. And what is actually left is a crust of salt. And calculations based on the amount of water that was dumped onto the reactors and subsequently boiled away suggest that there is something like 26,000 kilograms of salt, at least in one reactor, that has built up. And this may actually inhibit further attempts to keep the reactor cool. There's also been observations of neutron beams coming from the Fukushima reactor. Neutron beams are produced by nuclear fission of uranium, and it's another sign that there is actually leakage of fissionable material from the reactors. And increasingly, we're seeing signs from the experts and from the government in Japan that there may indeed be cracks in the reactors. And, you know, when you consider what actually happened with the giant hydrogen explosions, the fruitless attempts to try and keep the temperature down, it seems inevitable that that would be the case. And I would suggest that they knew about it a long while ago, but they're only gradually leaking the information to the public. And this is the way they try to, you know, damage control the effect of the information. So they initially start denying it, and then they gradually start admitting it, and then by the time, you know, a couple of weeks has gone by, they fully admit it. Now, if they fully admitted it at the beginning, there would have been mass panic and hysteria, and, you know, well, but at least there would have been the ability to take the correct action. And of course, governments and corporations are always worried about, you know, panic, and they're always trying to sort of calm everyone down, while at the same time they're actually killing people, and that's unfortunately what happens with the corporate government tyranny that we currently live under. Okay, just moving on now to look at the carbon tax and the current situation with the New South Wales election, an absolute landslide going away from the incumbent Labor government. And all of the indications that I'm seeing are that a large part of that is caused by the Prime Minister's reneging on the, you know, basically on the promise that there would be no carbon tax. And it is actually a record win for the Liberal Party. Now, of course, I don't place any faith in the Liberal Party in terms of their ability to protect freedoms and even to prevent the carbon tax ultimately coming through. But the fact that there was such a massive swing away from the New South Wales Labor government indicates where the people feel generally about the government's proposed carbon tax. Now, it's a really very serious situation, folks, because the protesters, and there were 5,000 of them down in Canberra last Wednesday, have been described as extremists. They've been described as a Dungeons and Dragons convention. We had the very unfortunate sign that was up behind Tony Abbott while he was speaking that said, Julia Gillard is Bob Brown's bitch, which, of course, does not at all reflect the quality, you know, and the sobriety of the people who are actually at that protest. And it's very suspicious that someone got that sign up right behind Tony Abbott as he was speaking, because it serves the demonization campaign. But this is a real problem, because what we've now got mainstream working people in Australia who are the backbone of this nation now being described as extremists by people in the government. That's that's another step towards totalitarianism. It's very, very clear, you know, and you've got to look at it in the context of history and look what's happened at other times in the past. When you see a group of people who are very representative of what people feel coming out And then they're told they're extremists. That's how tyrannical systems work. They try to pigeonhole and marginalize any opposition to the government as some sort of extremist thing. And the next step beyond that is to actually start calling them terrorists. But of course, that's probably going a little too far at this point, because they have got nothing to suggest that these people would be terrorists. But this type of scenario can occur, and it only takes one person to do something. You know, one person to throw a Molotov cocktail at a policeman. I mean, we've got a protest coming up at Hyde Park in Sydney next week on the 2nd of April, and there will be police presence there. It will probably be a significant protest, and you know, if one or two people do something stupid or crazy, then that will basically be fantastic ammunition for the powers that be to say, look, these people are just some extreme part of the society, whereas in fact they're not. They're the real people. They're what people really think. And of course, you know, a lot of people don't want to protest. A lot of people don't want to get involved because they're afraid. And can you see the mechanism of tyranny here? See, people don't want to be known. People don't want to have their face seen. They don't want to have their name exposed on Facebook. And that's because there is real tyranny, or there is a fear of tyranny coming. There is a fear of persecution. It's a very, very serious situation. I cannot underestimate the importance of this. So try to get to the protest. And as I've said before, try to see what you can do to raise awareness, and get in touch with Truth News, editor at truthnews.com.au, if you have any ideas. Okay, lastly for this segment, I just want to take a quick look at the Libya situation. Now, it's quite clear that the situation in Libya is part of the global plan to destabilize the Middle East, and they are doing it in many different countries, the most recent being Syria. And what their technique has been is to create fake Facebook profiles, fake Facebook groups, to report on events that don't exist. We've got evidence from Syria that that's actually taken place last week, where they've said that there were huge protests, and you actually take a look. And I actually have had some advice from someone who speaks the language that the so-called protests were actually chants in support of the government there. And of course, in Libya, we've seen the complete military, you know, takeover of the country. They're currently bombarding Libya. Still, and they've been using depleted uranium warheads, as indicated in an article here by Stop the War Coalition. The situation is one where the rebel forces have indicated that they are clearly extremists. I mean, they're real extremists. They are connected to Al-Qaeda, and Al-Qaeda, of course, is an extremist organization which was created by the powers that be in Afghanistan, and then supported over many years and used as a tool of intel and as a tool of false flag terrorism to facilitate the globalist takeover in various countries. So I just point out to you the article here from the Stop the War Coalition. Depleted uranium, a strange way to protect Libyan civilians. DU is a waste product from the process of enriching uranium. It is used in nuclear weapons and reactors. Because it is a very heavy substance, 1.7 times denser than lead, it is highly valued by the military for its ability to punch through armored vehicles and buildings. When a weapon made with DU tip strikes a solid object, like the side of a tank, it goes straight through and then erupts in a burning cloud of vapor. When a DU missile impacts, it burns at 10,000 degrees centigrade. When it strikes a target, 30% fragments into shrapnel. So we have the coalition of these great humanitarian countries bombarding Libya with depleted uranium weapons. And I just want to draw your attention to another excellent article which was published at informationclearinghouse.info, and which we've also republished at truthnews.com.au, which gives a bit of a synopsis of the history of, you know, humanitarian intervention being used as a cover for murder and plunder. So the title of that article is Murder and Plunder Masquerading as Humanitarian Intervention. On March 20th, 2003, Western forces launched their shock and awe attack on Iraq, heavily bombarding Baghdad and elsewhere, massacring hundreds, if not thousands, of innocent men, women, and children. On March the 20th, 2011, the very same forces attacked Libya, beginning what many believe will be yet another mass slaughter. Now it is ironic that the date is the same date. I don't know if that's significant, but we know that the people who orchestrate these types of things do use dates, and they seem to like the secret symbology behind dates. And it is quite a terrifying thought that they might actually have, you know, deliberately used that date as part of some sort of covert subliminal message that they're trying to say to the world, look, we are taking over the world, watch us. What is obvious to all but the most duped and apathetic is that once again we have another war launched by the imperialist powers, thinly veiled as a humanitarian intervention, dressed up as a mission of peace, driven by the use of heavy bombardment and murder, where the truth lies diametrically opposed to the propaganda being pushed by the mainstream media. So I recommend having a look at that. The article goes into some of the background of other similar types of events, such as the attack on Yugoslavia that was done under also a democratic government in the US. That was Bill Clinton. So strongly recommend that article. It's very interesting. We're going to have to break now for our interview. Please stay with us, and we'll be right back. You're listening to Truth News Radio Australia, going beyond the spin, deception and propaganda of mainstream news. Visit truthnews.com.au and subscribe now. Welcome back to the show. And today it's a great pleasure to have on the show Susan Wolfe, who's joining us from Kansas in the United States. Susan, as I mentioned earlier, has been planning and organizing for the anniversary of the 9/11 event in New York City, which is the 10th anniversary, and it will hopefully be a big milestone in the 9/11 truth movement to get everyone to come together and really try and make an impact on the public consciousness. It's something that we've obviously been trying to do year after year, and we've had various degrees of success with that. There's been so much great information and so many great people that have kind of joined the truth movement over the last few years that I think that the potential there is to really make an impact. But, you know, with the passage of time, it gets harder again because people start to think more and more that, well, it's just some issue from the past. And, you know, and there are all these world-shaking issues that are happening at the moment. But of course, for me and for many people in my network, we regard this, and we will continue to regard this, as one of the most important movements of our time. And I defend that against any criticism, against any argument, because you only have to look at the geopolitical impact and connection of 9/11 to everything that's occurred since to understand it. So with that, Susan, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Harrowood, for having me. I really appreciate it. I couldn't agree more with what you just said. 9/11 was definitely the catalyst for a lot of change here in the world, not just in America, but in the world. So I completely agree. It's one of the most pivotal turning points this coming September, in my opinion. So,
indeed. And do you also find that that you have to deal with kind of a lot of the the objections and cognitive dissonance of people who sort of want to minimize its significance or to sort of relegate it to something from the past, and all these different techniques, what I've found is people have of trying not to engage with it, trying not to look at it.
Absolutely. I think that it breaks down between various sort of factions, where you have those who are still completely sold out to the government's official version of events of that day, to the point where they will, you know, actively go about campaigning, so to speak, against truthers or the truth movement. And then you have those who... for them, it was an event that took place in the United States 10 years ago. They do not connect it to the war on terror, and rightfully so, I suppose, since it has absolutely, you know, since the perpetrators of the 9/11 event.
Right.
You know, but so I think it there are different levels, but there are people who...
And you know, I think it's interesting that we're seeing now in the situation in Libya, we're seeing that Al Qaeda, the supposed arch enemy of the
one who doesn't exist,
indeed, or are they merely a tool of power? Because now this so called Al Qaeda is actually supporting the coalition against Libya, and no one seems to find that. I mean, I'm not getting any indications from any of the mainstream that there is something very, very wrong with that. It's the Orwellian, it's the doublethink completely coming into force, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Now, Susan, you have taken on a role to organize and to bring everyone together for the 10th anniversary events in New York?
Yeah, absolutely. I do want to be clear. I'm working with Luke Rudowski of We Are Change.
Right.
He is organizing the street actions and events that will take place with people that are on the ground there in New York City. I am organizing the national committee to actually transport and lodge people when they're there in New York City, and we're working together to make those things coincide in the best way. We have a lot of great ideas, though, for the actual events that are going to be taking place and that are going to be announced over the next few months. And I'm getting so excited. I wish that I could tell people what's in the works, but
wow.
I can't at this point.
Right. So there's more information will be revealed soon, hopefully.
Absolutely.
And you've got a new website, nyc4911truth.com?
That's correct.
Okay.
For the Travel and Lodging Committee, absolutely.
Great. So you'll be posting news about that on that website as well as your Facebook profile.
Yeah, absolutely. And We Are Change will be linking with us from their main web page as well. So.
Of course, yeah. And I should point out that you've got a huge fan base on Facebook for anyone who is interested. It's just that you've got a very active sort of group of people there on Facebook, which is obviously a powerful tool for organizing. Do you have any concerns about Facebook, Susan? I mean, I'm just wondering, you know, I mean, you're obviously using it very successfully and very well, but, you know, a lot of us are a bit worried about it.
And rightfully so, I think.
Yeah.
I definitely believe that while we may be able to use it as a tool to network, they are using it as a tool to track what we're doing. I've seen the information regarding that it was a CIA, you know, invented Facebook, that type of thing, or that they created it or turned it into what they wanted it to be. I do think that to a certain extent it encourages people to willfully give over information that they wouldn't naturally possibly share with complete strangers. But I also feel like, you know, if they're looking for me, they're going to find me. I've been active in the movements for a long time. And if I'm not on a list somewhere by now, someone hasn't been doing their job, I guess. So
sure, yeah. And I think it's become essential if you want to promote any type of activity, whether it's a activism or a business or anything, you sort of have to use Facebook at the moment. It is the current most fashionable social networking mm-hmm. site. Mm-hmm. So you're kind of shooting yourself in the foot if you don't use it.
yeah, I agree.
And the thing that concerns me, though, about it is not so much the surveillance aspects. I don't really care. I don't put important, sensitive yeah. information on there. But it's when you've built a whole network that uses Facebook as the connections for all of those people.
Sure.
If, for example, if your account was shut down, how do you get in touch again with all those people? If your access was broken, then that giant network of thousands of people suddenly is lost. That's what worries me more. But I know you've got a lot of alternatives, and I think alternatives have to be maintained as well.
I agree. I think that it's important to definitely – I have a specific group of my friends who are my kind of like, you know, specific contacts. I have different ways of getting in contact with them if anything were to happen with Facebook, or if any one of us dropped off of Facebook for any extended period of time, we know how to get in contact with those people. We also are considering that with regard to New York City, where, for instance, it has been suggested that they may jam the cell phone lines and that type of thing, and we won't be able to contact people while we're actually on the ground in New York City.
Right.
So we are in the process of establishing or, you know, kind of organizing a way to get radio service for us to be on the ground there in New York City for very cheap. We think it's a great idea. We'll be able to get in contact with all of the activists at one time, or anyone at least who has gone through the radio service. So,
great.
You know, we have to do it. So
as an alternate, yeah. So it's just going to be there in case you need to. how would people subscribe to that? Like as an individual?
Well, it's still being kind of in the works discussed.
We're
looking at alternatives or options as far as what there is out there available to us. We had them for the Revolution March in Washington, D.C., where we had a security team, so to speak, that had radios to communicate with one another. For this, we just think that it's going to be something that we'll need in a more grand scale. Washington, D.C. was a political march. This is, you know, definitely more of a, I don't know how to explain it, but it's not a political march. It's a truth march.
Yes.
Or a truth presentation or a presence. And so I think that the communication needs are going to be more substantial in order to be able to, you know, organize people the best way. So what we want to do is put out on the website that we are going to be using a specific type of this radio, somewhere in the range between $40 and $50 US dollars, and that we encourage other people to buy these radios for themselves so that they can be on the same channel with us when we're on the ground in New York City. That's kind of where the idea of where we're going. And we don't want to, you know, it's not a situation where we're selling these things at all. It's we're going to be using these. We want to stay in contact with you. We want you to be able to stay in contact with us. And so we are going to encourage you to buy these for your trip to New York City.
Great. Yeah, that's yeah. great plan. It's great to see that you're really looking at contingencies there.
Yeah.
I visited New York earlier this year just for 2 days. One thing I noticed down at the Ground Zero area there, it's just a giant construction site. And, you know, there's just no – I mean, there is a little sort of museum for 9/11, which I didn't even go into because I didn't want to look at what they had to say.
It offends me, yes.
Yes. There just doesn't seem to be – it seems like they're trying to just make you forget about 9/11 now that it's served its purpose. You know, it's
absolutely.
Like – yeah.
Absolutely. Well, they – you know, it's kind of one of those little like – Pearl Harbor memorial things where you set it up on your shelf and you look at it from time to time and go, that happened, and then you go watch TV or whatever. And so instead, what I've seen happening actually just doing my news searches and that type of thing is that it seems like every city in the country is planning their own little 9/11 memorial event to remember, you know, to remind their citizens of what happened that day. But they're not actually going to be talking about what happened that day. You know, they're really just going to be talking about we all need to be in unity and be patriots. And
yeah.
So I think that's why our presence in New York City is called for and practically mandatory this year. We want to go there and, you know, demonstrate to the world just how many people there are who understand that that's not what happened that day.
Yeah, no, that's the whole point. And of course, just the information part of it is the hard thing, because there is all this information. And one thing I often notice is that, you know, people who are 9/11 truthers, they want to convey that information, but it's just so hard, you know, like there's so many individual facts that you've got to try and get through. And I try to these days stand back from it a bit and sure. and not try and launch into some technical explanations.
Yes, yes.
Because a lot of people, and it doesn't matter how clear you try and make it about the controlled demolitions and, you know, this can't happen, that can't happen, people still see it as like a conspiracy argument. And I always try to just stand back from it and say, you know, what was 9/11 really about? Look at what happened. Look at what they did. You know, they invaded other countries. Does that feel right to you? I mean, you've sort of, I feel you've got to start from that position.
I agree. I've had discussions with people where we have, where my argument to them or my counter argument would be that no terrorist wrote the Patriot Act and legislated away your freedoms. You know, that happened, you know, by your own government. So where do we go from there? You know, and how many million Iraqis have to be killed for something that no Iraqi had a part of? And, you know, the fact that Donald Rumsfeld admits that, you know, and George W. Bush even admitted that Saddam Hussein had nothing to do with 9/11. We still invaded their country and have killed a million of their citizens. And we're in Afghanistan pretending to free them as well. And so it's really a sad situation. But, you know, I also come at it from the point of who has come out in support of 9/11 truth. Like on my Facebook page, for instance, I have an album that includes 100 celebrities who have come out in support of 9/11 truth. And I've had some people question why I would care whether celebrities supported it or not, because they're quote unquote part of the system. But I believe that they can be a useful tool just like anything. And I think that the general population or the general public, they listen to what celebrities have to say. And so I think it's important to point out to people, you know, who it is that they like that also agrees with us about 9/11. So,
yeah, just, I mean, anyone who has standing in the community who steps forward.
Absolutely.
Is
important. Wesley Clark.
Yeah.
You know, speaking out recently. So.
Absolutely. Just going to take a quick break and we'll get right back into that. Cheers. This is a song called Conspiracy Theory by Josh D. I just want to issue a disclaimer here. These conspiracies are not necessarily supported by either myself or Truth News. It's a great song, though.
Telling the lies, just conspiracy theories meant to make you think twice about who really runs the country and controls the world, and how they fund it all through the Federal Reserve. Now, once upon a time, there was a man named Rothschild. He thought it would be cool to let his kid go buck wild with the banking industry in every country and land. And now they own the world with the help from another man named Rockefeller. And these boys weren't playing no games. They pimped the whole damn planet, then they made us to slaves. See, they launder all the money through the IRS by deciding how much tax is gonna come out of checks. Now the CFR is another name you should know, 'cause Rockefeller created to make his friends more dope. All his buddies sit around around and get us into more war so our children can die and they can reap the reward. It's a conspiracy theory, ain't none of this true. But even if it is, there ain't nothing you can do. All the lies that they tell us could be for our own good. Do we really want to know this putting AIDS in the hood? Do we really want to know that depression was a plot to create a central bank and take everything we got? It's a conspiracy theory, ain't none of this true. But even if it is, there ain't nothing you can do. So many crazy stories about the crash of Roswell, but it's all science fiction, ain't no story to tell. Except the hundreds of people that say they saw the remains of a giant UFO and a bunch of little green men. The newspapers came and quoted people one day, then the army swooped in and made it all go away. It was a weather balloon that must have crashed to the ground. All those people were lying about the saucer they found. But don't worry, we got somebody already checking it out. The name is Project Blue Book, there's no reason to doubt. The government will tell you everything you need to know. Just like we told you Nagasaki's the only way we could go. Just like we told you that the commies want to kill us in our sleep. And we're just trying to protect you with all the secrets that we keep. So just microwave that meal and drink that fluoridated water. And don't believe that UFOs are seen by President Carter. It's a conspiracy theory, ain't none of this true. But even if it is, there ain't nothing you could do. All the freedom we enjoy could be too much to handle. Just be happy with your cable and your 400 channels. Just be happy with the news brought to you by Cialis. And drive the SUV, it gets 3 miles per gallon. It's a conspiracy theory, ain't none of this true. But even if it is, there ain't nothing you can do. One final theory that can bury the rest. 3 buildings were demolished, almost 3,000 dead. God bless the families and the ones that survived. But God condemned the killers and their ridiculous lies. Like the Pentagon was hit by a 747. But no bodies were found, I guess they all went to heaven. Like in 1993 when the heroes hit the ground. But Rumsfeld let it slip that the plane was shot down. And the fuel was so hot that when the plane hit the towers, it vaporized the metal and brought it down within hours. And the Sullivan Brother building was a terrible loss. Except the fortune that they made from the terrorist clause. I'm not saying it was planned by George Bush and his cronies. But why is Osama still alive and his confession's a phony? And why did Cheney bring Iraq up on September the 12th? And why is Halliburton drowning in ridiculous wealth? It's a conspiracy theory, ain't none of this true. But even if it is, there ain't nothing you can do. How did Tupac catch a bullet on a Las Vegas trip? But nobody saw a thing and no one called it a tip. How did Biggie die in L.A.? No one catching a case. And nobody knows who shot Jab Master J in the face. It's a conspiracy theory, ain't none of this true. But even if it is, there ain't nothing you can do. Josh D, we just want to tell you to keep your heads buried in the sand. Don't think too much and don't watch out what the man in black.
Are you getting fed up with all the disinformation, deception, spin, propaganda, half-truths and downright lies in mainstream news? Looking for something different? Visit Truth News Radio Australia, www.truthnews.com.au, and may the truth set you free. Welcome back to the show. I'm here with Susan Wolf today, who's joining us from America, and we're talking about the plans for the 10th anniversary of 9/11 and how that can be made to be the most effective. And we've been getting into some questions about, you know, what the 9/11 truth movement does in terms of how it communicates and how we try to raise the awareness of people about it. And one thing, Susan, that I've been thinking about is we've been talking about, you know, getting endorsements from people, and that's really important. And we've been talking about the sort of broader geopolitical issues of how 9/11 was used to justify wars, and that brings us very close to the arguments of like the Stop the War Coalition and the traditional anti-war movements that exist, which unfortunately have been consistently hostile to the position of 9/11 truth, which of course is completely wrong. No, there's no need for it to be that way, and yet it's still that way. And I don't know if you've got any thoughts on that, but that's obviously been one of the biggest hindrances to getting a movement for a new investigation. See, we want a new investigation. We want it because it wasn't properly investigated, because the 9/11 Commission was a sham, because all of these important facts were overlooked. It needs to be investigated, and that's what the most sensible, sober people in the 9/11 truth movement have been saying. And you know, unfortunately, the traditional anti-war groups just think that there's all a bunch of conspiracy nonsense.
7 to 8, you know, out of the 10 commissioners on the 9/11 commission report have called for a new investigation. If they are calling for a new investigation, I can't imagine how anyone would question whether one is needed or not. But I agree with you, actually, that the anti-war movement has been oddly, in my opinion, hostile to the 9/11 truth movement. It's still a situation, I think, where they are not connecting the wars with 9/11, which is ironic because 9/11 is the ultimate anti-war message. 9/11 truth, you know, is the ultimate anti-war message, in my opinion.
Yes.
You know,
well,
you said earlier, what has happened since 9/11? You know,
I've seen some very interesting confrontations with George Galloway, who's very popular in the UK on the left. He's anti-war. He's said some great things. He was really against the Iraq invasion. And he did a speaking tour in Canada last year. And he's had this really knee-jerk response to anyone who brings up questions about the 9/11 events. And he seems to me symptomatic of people in that side of politics, in that side, who are just blocking those who, mm-hmm. who've got valid questions. And you know, George Galloway is someone who's very familiar with all of this. He even agrees that you know, that 9/11 was used as for purpose. And he knows that Al-Qaeda and these groups were created by the CIA. He knows that. He knows about Afghanistan. But then when the very specific questions are raised, for example, there's one confrontation you can watch he's asked about the $100,000 that was reportedly wired to Muhammad Atta. Mm-hmm. And he says it's a load of conspiracy nonsense. And has the man not done the basic research that this is a confirmed report over and over again? Even the Pakistani government has actually said that this needs to be investigated. And yet, you know, these key things, and you get someone like this blocking it, and it just and those things are so significant because they've got thousands of people that follow them, and when a leader like that says yes. that, everyone goes, oh, well, we won't touch that area then.
Yes, absolutely. Well, I think that they're gatekeepers. I think that's his job, you know, is to perpetuate the myth that the government is effective and can be effective in creating a better government. And I'm speaking, let me be clear, on my own behalf and not on behalf of the movement or on Revolution Travel Management or in this specific statement. I'm a classical anarchist, and I don't believe in any form of government that can control mankind better than mankind can control itself. As far as 9/11 truth is concerned, I think that all of these politicians who spout off about freedom and liberty and, you know, anti-war and yes, Al-Qaeda doesn't exist and this type of thing, but they absolutely refuse to touch on the murder of 3,000 of the human beings that live in this world, because it wasn't just U.S. citizens. You know, there were people from all over the world that were killed in the trade centers that day. I think that, you know, any politician who wants to ride the coattails of the liberty train but doesn't want to face up to 9/11 truth is a shill and, you know, should be rejected.
Yeah, so. Yeah, and it's just the facts are there, and it's very hard to get around it. It makes life difficult, but I think it's what happens in a situation like this when many people who aren't involved in any type of activism, you know, look at what people talk about on various websites, including websites that are more conspiratorial. You know, there's a big mm-hmm. spectrum of discussion on so many subjects.
Definitely.
And a lot of people who are just outside of all that and just say, well, you know, I'm just a regular person, I just, you know, I'm not part of your ilk, you know, that's what a lot of people kind of think. And it's like, and they think that we just believe whatever crazy idea pops up the latest, And we just sort of any idea that's conspiratorial, we just immediately embrace. Whereas in fact, I mean, I've been struggling with this show to demonstrate a very clear critical process, a critical analysis of all the information that comes through. And I will discard anything that does not have good solid facts to back it up. And I often offend people by doing that, I have to say, because a lot of people really get attached to their ideas. And, you know, I try to say it usually in terms of, look, I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm just saying that there's no proof for it. And it's irresponsible. It would be irresponsible of me to promote something that has no proof behind it. And so that's how I approach everything to do with looking at 9/11 and many other aspects that we cover on this show. And what you do come when you follow that approach, you still end up with this group of issues and facts that are pretty solid, and it's a lot of them, you know, and more than enough. You have plenty of solid information there, and unfortunately, though, when we confront that, we actually do have to realize that we have been deceived on a very high level by the people who control and run the country, and it's hard to believe it. I found it hard to believe myself.
I understand. I've actually been my mother was someone who raised me to question things, and she taught me everything there was to know about the New World Order before the internet was ever invented. So, you know, when 9/11 happened, I put it in a list of things that I knew from before that time that had taken place that were false flag or black ops, and that there are factual, you know, is factual evidence to support the fact that a particular incident took place as a result of being orchestrated by inside factions. So I wasn't surprised when 9/11 happened, and I never went through this period of feeling like I couldn't believe that it was them that did it or something of that nature. But I do understand completely I even knowing from before it occurred that it was them who did it, or that it was not, the official version was a lie. Even knowing that, I still, you know, will try to explain to people that it isn't as if I want this to be true. You know, it isn't as if I want for the U.S. government or any other government, for instance, you know, for that matter, to have perpetrated this type of action against its own citizens or the a building in its own country. I don't want it to be the case. It just is. And because it is, we have to stand up and say something about it. So,
yeah, and you're doing a great role there. I think I've been trying to reach out to more people to, you know, to say, look, the media has failed us completely. The media should be looking into these questions and bringing them to the attention of the general population. Mm-hmm. But because the media is all controlled by like two or three mega billionaires who have vested interests, that's not going to happen. So we actually have to take up that role as best we can. And even if we don't feel that we are fully qualified, we still have to do it. And it's a great opportunity as well. I think, you know, for anyone who wants to try and exercise their ability to be a citizen journalist, you know, this is just a great opportunity. I mean, you can learn new skills this way. I've kind of benefited, I think, from doing this. I've developed a lot of you know, things in myself that I never would have otherwise. So it's a really important. It's sort of like it's a problem, but every problem is an opportunity as well. It's just another way of looking at it.
Something to overcome. And well, I couldn't possibly agree more that the independent media is so valuable right now, so valuable. We wouldn't know half of what we know about what's actually taking place in the world were it not for people like you and other people who are creating legitimate news sources. And
absolutely.
The media, obviously, we know is controlled. I know half of the people I know don't even have televisions, let alone watch television anymore. But, you know, one thing that I am guilty of, however, is I I naturally assume that people that I'm talking to are are knowledgeable about different subjects because they're 9/11 truthers, for instance. And it never ceases to amaze me how many different kinds of people there are in the world who just happen to be 9/11 truthers as well. So some other topic they may completely disagree with me on, but we're all brought together through 9/11 truth, I believe. So,
well, yeah, it's a question of truth. It's not a question of political allegiance. And right. I think maybe that, just coming back to this question of why certain political groups are so hostile to 9/11 truth, one explanation of it is that, see, those of us who really care about the truth place that on a higher level than, say, just allegiance to a political party or, you know, allegiance right. to a group or a tribe because we were brought up to think that, you know, I'm a Republican, I'm a Democrat, et cetera, et cetera, right? Right. Whereas a lot of people are stuck in that way of thinking, and especially the ones that are in activist movements. Of course, you know, they're always struggling to maintain credibility anyway, but they're also controlled by the concept of, you know, this is the party line. And those who are motivated to question 9/11 tend to come from diverse backgrounds. They don't come from one particular background. And what they're doing is often against what they've been brought up to think. And I just want to compare it a little to the movement. We've got a strong movement here in Australia against the carbon tax. I don't know if you've heard about that, but our government is planning to bring in a carbon tax starting in the middle of next year. And it's a huge, huge problem. And what's actually happened is that there is a protest movement that has developed, which is a true grassroots protest movement, which crosses all boundaries of socioeconomic groups. And 5,000 of them went to Canberra, and Canberra is the capital city, but it's a small city, and it is quite an exceptional thing that 5,000 people turned up in Canberra. But what's actually happened is that the government has demonized them as extremists, and is basically saying these people are kind of not part of the family. You know, you're excluded from the family of decent Australians, and they're all just the most normal working people, you know. Sure. they're the backbone of the country, and so, you know, it's not just 9/11. There are these other types of problems happening, which are this. We see the same trends, and it really concerns me when I start to see decent people demonized as extremists, which of course, you know, has happened a lot with the 9/11, more in America, because the 9/11 truth movement is virtually non-existent here, whereas it's a bit more significant in the US. And I know that you know, there have been the Southern Poverty Law Center has put out statements basically saying that the 9/11 truth is an extremist group.
Yeah, it's funny. I don't know how they could possibly categorize all of us in any way. We all come from such different walks of life. But there are plenty of intellectuals who are 9/11 truthers, and then there are, you know, plenty of people who, you know, don't get into any other type of political discussion at all other than 9/11 truth. And
yes, yes.
So it's funny. You know, that surprises me, actually, that you say there isn't a big 9/11 truth movement there in Australia. I guess because I have quite a few friends, actually, on Facebook lists and that type of thing who are Australian and are 9/11 truthers, so to speak. You know, and actually, a good friend of mine named Jesse just commented on my wall the other day that we shouldn't call ourselves truthers anymore because they've demonized the word so much. And what we really should just refer to ourselves as is truth-loving realists, because what we want is the reality of the situation acknowledged.
Yes.
You know, so, but...
Yeah, interesting observation you make about the large number of Australians who are, you know, are on Facebook, and it's true. Like there's two sides to this. There's the public activism, and then there's people who are pretty much across the board on side and understand what's going on.
Sure.
For some reason, there is a lack of a public movement in Australia. on that issue. Whereas, you know, we have seen 5,000 assemble against the carbon tax. The largest number we've actually ever had together for a 9/11 truth protest is probably about 30 to 50. You know, maybe on one occasion we had close to 50, but that was exceptional when we had like a conference on here and various other things happening. It's part of the signs of the times, though. It's like there's a lot of people who think about this and really care about it, but they just don't want to go out. They don't want to – even the information's there, sure. But yeah.
Sure. Well, you know, I actually have a good friend named Wayne Sweetman. He's on Facebook.
Yes, I know Wayne. Yeah, I've met him, yeah.
Oh, you have? Oh,
good. I'm pretty sure I've met him. He's from the U.S., isn't he?
Oh, is he from the U.S.? So he's told me that he's coming from Australia to be in New York City for 9/11 and that he has actually volunteered as part of the travel and lodging committee for us to organize a trip for Australians to go to New York City for 9/11. So I'm really excited about that. I think that's great.
Great. Yeah. Yeah. No, that's excellent. I'm hoping I can't be sure if I'm going to be able to come, but I would love to be able to come, but I've got a few other commitments this year, so...
I understand completely. Yeah. We have to sadly pick and choose. For us, you know, it's incredible how large this country is, but we intend to do everything possible to get as many people there as we possibly can fit. I would love to see, you know, 5 million people converge on New York City, but yeah, we're doing everything we can. We actually have gotten some really good information back in the process of all of this kind of early work in the planning for the travel committee. We have been contacted by Hosteling International in New York City. They have offered they want to be our host hostel there in New York City. And other hostels have contacted us and asked us to list them on our website for people to stay at when they arrive in New York City. Amtrak, which is our nationwide rail system here in the U.S., has actually approved our group for group rates. Any group that's 20 or more people can get discounted rates through our rail system to get to New York City for 9/11.
Brilliant.
We're doing the Ronvoys again. I'm not sure if you're familiar with the term Ronvoy, but that term was coined during the Revolution March for Ron Paul in Washington, D.C. in 2008. And basically what it is volunteer drivers who take large passenger vehicles cross-country, picking up people along the way in various cities. And they all go to New York City, stay there, do our event, and then they drive them all back. It's incredible. It really is incredible. So
wow, that's great to see such level.
We have over 100 cities actually that are listed on our website as departure cities for these Ronvoys. So it's going to be great.
Sounds really, really interesting. Is there anything more you can tell us about what the events will be during the? How long will the sort of 9/11 truth events? Will it be like over 3 days or?
Yeah, it actually is going to start on Thursday, September 8th, okay. There in New York City, with different street actions, marches, and protests that are going to be taking place over the duration of the weekend. There are going to be other events announced, specific events for people to be in attendance at. One of the exciting things that I'm working on right now is... we are contacting every celebrity that has ever come out in support of 9/11 Truth and asking for either their presence or their endorsement in New York City for that weekend. So that's something that's very exciting. And we are also in the process of – I'm working with AE 9/11 Truth – to determine if an event that they're going to be hosting that weekend is also going to be in conjunction with all of us. And so we really want to just make it an entire weekend where we take over New York City and make it about the truth of 9/11. So
I really want to be there. I'm going to try to be there. Sounds great.
I encourage you to.
Yeah. 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 It sounds like something like a once in a lifetime opportunity. Okay, well, we're just about out of time.
Sure.
Thanks for coming on today. And look, I think
thanks
we should get you on again.
I really appreciate it.
Yeah, yeah. And maybe we can get you on again for an update closer to the event when
absolutely.
We can actually give the details about what the what lectures there will be, who will be speaking, who the celebrities are that might be coming forward and that kind of stuff.
Absolutely. Yeah. That sounds great.
Great. Okay. Well, thanks so much, Susan.
Thank you.
Great. Talk to you again. Cheers. Bye. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, that was a fantastic opportunity there to learn more about what's happening on the ground in the US. And I hope you enjoyed it. And please keep an eye on our website and Twitter pages. And please leave some comments. And look forward to speaking to you again in the very near future. It's Truth News Radio Australia. And good night and good luck.